How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome, it's Eric Erickson here across the United States. The phone number is 877-973-7425. I have been told reliably that Joe Biden's decision will come this weekend and Democrats expect him to step down. He has privately asked Democratic leaders to prepare a plan to minimize chaos for a transition in the ticket. Kamala Harris is not guaranteed, but is still the most likely nominee. A Democratic strategist is telling me that he expects Joe Biden by Monday to have plans ready to leave the race, that Nancy Pelosi's persuasion with Mike Donilon, who is one of Joe Biden's trusted aides to walk him through the polling that others have not showed him, left an impression on him. Joe Biden has asked Democratic leaders to prepare a plan to minimize chaos for the transitioning of the ticket. And Kamala Harris is not a shoe-in because a lot of the internal polling shows she would be as weak as Joe Biden. She remains the preference of the Congressional Black Caucus and black leaders within the party, so she is most likely going to be the replacement, but there is no guarantee she will be the replacement. What is more than likely guaranteed at this point, barring some last-minute change by the president, is that Joe Biden has concluded he can't win and will most likely stop the race, get out of the race. That is from a Democratic strategist to me a short time ago. Additionally, Axios is reporting, President Biden may decide to drop out of the presidential race as soon as this weekend, according to Democrats who believe he now realizes the stakes. Additionally, Democratic donors have announced that if Joe Biden stays in the race and loses to Donald Trump, he will become the first president of the modern era not to have a presidential library because they will not provide the funds for him as an added incentive to get him out of the race. That is news happening now. Joe Biden is in Delaware with his family plotting next steps. So I kind of floored. Maybe he changes his mind. Maybe Hunter and Jill persuade him to stay in. But as of right now, it looks like Joe Biden is going to get out of the race now. Pretty big deal. I would trust the Democratic strategist that I have traded notes with more than pretty much any. The big issue is the Democratic leaders presenting a plan to minimize chaos. That's all I know. I'm giving you this. I'm allowed to give you this. I want to spend time on something else, though. The most stunning moment of the Republican National Committee last night was not J.D. Vance's speech. It was a good speech. It was not the most stunning moment. The most stunning moment, the most devastating moment to Joe Biden and the Democrats came from the Gold Star families who lost children. And Joe Biden did nothing, particularly from Afghanistan. I have been asked, I know how to do radio now. There are a lot of people who occasionally chime in and say, you should do this, you should do that. And I tend to ignore all of them because they don't understand how it works. But I've never had so many people unsolicited through email, through text, through private messages on Instagram and Twitter all say, can you please just let us hear those people again? That tells me they struck a chord. And so I want to let you hear those people again.
Hello, America. I'm Christy Shamblin. My daughter-in-law, Sergeant Nicole Leanne G. was a United States Marine, and she was killed at Abbey Gate in Afghanistan alongside 12 of her brothers and sister-in-arms. While Joe Biden has refused to recognize their sacrifice, Donald Trump spent 6 hours in Bedminster with us. He allowed us to grieve. He allowed us to remember our heroes. Donald Trump knew all of our children's names. He knew their stories, and he spoke to us in a way that made us feel understood, like he knew our kids. Donald Trump carried the weight for a few hours with me. Yeah. And for the first time since Nicole's death, I felt I wasn't alone in my grief. Thank you. I had expected to meet an arrogant politician. Instead, I met a man who had empathy for us. He was compassionate, and he spent time with us because he knew it would make us feel better. Thank you, President Trump.
That's one. Just one more. Just one more of all of them. Just one more.
Thank you. When Hunter and the other service members' bodies were returned to the U.S. in Dover, Delaware, Joe Biden met the plane. But he made the occasion more about his son, lost to cancer, than our sons and daughters, lost on his watch. Worse than that, he has never said their names out loud. And during last month's debate, he claimed no service members have died during his administration. None. That hurt us all deeply. So Alicia and I are here to say the names of all 13 service members who lost their lives. All 13 service members who lost their lives at Abbey Gate. David Espinoza. Nicole G. Taylor Hoover. Ryan C. Knaus. Riley McCollum. Dylan Marola. Kareem Nakui. Dagan Page. Johanny Pichardo. Humberto Sanchez. Jared Schmitz. Maxton Sobiak, and my son, Hunter Lopez.
How do you think that played? How do you think that played with the press? Well, here's Scott Jennings on CNN, who's a partisan pundit.
I've been to a lot of conventions. I've never seen anything this politically devastating done at a convention. I mean, they have proven to the American people that the commander-in-chief failed these families. If I were Joe Biden and I saw that tonight, I would resign my office, go outside, dig a hole, get in it, and not come out for a while.
That was Scott Jennings. He's a partisan pundit, worked for Mitch McConnell, is a Republican on CNN. So let's go to someone who doesn't like Donald Trump, is on the record not caring for Donald Trump. That's ABC News' Terry Moran.
David, I'm not sure I've ever experienced anything like that at a convention. The connection between this crowd and those family members of the fallen was just absolutely extraordinary. The emotions, the call and response that the crowd started spontaneously. Never forget reciting and repeating the names as they were read out. And it wasn't just the compassion and the sorrow that linked the crowd and those speakers. It was the anger. I've been out here this afternoon talking to veterans, Vietnam-era veterans, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, about the campaign in general. And without being prompted, they bring up Afghanistan and the sense of shame and anger that they felt for the country and in this campaign.
That's a guy who's not a Trump fan, who clearly emotionally moved. And you know how I know that it was a terrible thing for the Democrats? Because when it became clear what was happening on the stage, here's MSNBC.
Actually, who would less like to join in on this conversation than probably anything else in his entire life. But he is now going to join us. He is our friend Jamie Harrison, the chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
That's right. The couple reading the names of the fallen as the crowd chants the names of the fallen. They're on stage doing that in the background, and MSNBC cuts away instead of hearing the stories of the Gold Star families. That's how devastating it was for the Democrats last night. And it's a self-inflicted wound, I might add. It is a true self-inflicted wound, because every single one of those Gold Star families, every single one of them, noted that Joe Biden never reached out, never spent time, never mentioned their child's name, and then had the audacity on that debate stage to claim no one died on his watch. It was an unforced error by Joe Biden. An unforced error. This is John King. After you had that moment, and then Donald Trump Jr. speak. You had the Gold Star families. You had Donald Trump Jr. This is John King on CNN.
The people who are planning the Democratic convention are taking notes because they got to go on a rewrite. These guys are putting on a good show. Donald Trump Jr. appeals to the base, but it's a show of confidence. Everybody they're putting up there says they're confident. Some of the people they're putting up there are quite controversial. Some of the people up there are saying things that you could cut little ads about or use on social media, but they know that. And they're confident. This is a very professional Trump team putting this program together. The other thing I would say is that we're about to hear from J.D. Vance how different this party is. This is Make America Strong night. No one has said stand with Ukraine. Not one speaker has said stand with Ukraine. And J.D. Vance is going to criticize Joe Biden for supporting NAFTA. I covered Bill Clinton when he got NAFTA through the Congress. Democrats didn't like it. Unions didn't like it. Bill Clinton got that passed with the support of the Republican Party.
Yeah. This is not your father's Republican Party, let alone your grandfather's Republican Party. And it's been a well-organized convention. Behind the scenes, I've had a number of people tell me it's just been a mess behind the scenes with some of the stuff going on. But what they're putting out on stage, remarkably good stuff. What they're putting out on stage is just remarkable. Those Gold Star families last night, I went back. The whole thing is 20 minutes. Went back and watched every second of it. It was a remarkable moment, so much so that MSNBC had to cut it, and ABC News, one of their most vocal anti-Trump reporters, was emotionally moved by it and himself stunned by their stories of how Joe Biden's administration never reached out. was an unforced error by the Biden team that the Trump team was able to capitalize on. And it wasn't even political. It was just compassion, where the president of the United States, the existing commander in chief, had shown none. And Donald Trump, the former commander in chief, showed much. And that resonated with all of those families.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number 877-973-7425. Let's go to Michael. Welcome to the show, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I called in originally to ask about Menendez's Senate seat, if it was going to be vacant or if that gives a majority to the Republicans. But with you reporting that it's more and more likely Biden will step down, how does that play into the Democratic races for House and Senate? Does that help them or help
so
the Republicans or a non-factor or what?
The Democrats believe that it's not going to hurt. The only thing they're hurting is Joe Biden, that a new nominee would at least stop the damage, and that they have an option. They have an opportunity to go up in the polls depending on who the nominee is. The nominee most likely would be Kamala Harris, but there's no guarantee. It would take Joe Biden, Jim Clyburn, the Congressional Black Caucus, the Obamas, the Clintons, all of them to align behind Kamala Harris to get her across the finish line, which would probably happen. She, I don't think, actually helps the Democratic chances. Let's not forget she was a disaster on the campaign trail. Democrats can revise it all they want, but she wasn't great. James Carville is privately warning everybody that she's going to be a disaster. You need someone new, but I don't know that they'll listen. But I can take the Menendez thing as well. Menendez dropping wouldn't hand the Senate to the Republicans. It'd be 50-50 with Kamala Harris breaking ties, and the Democratic governor of New Jersey would appoint the replacement pretty rapidly. So it wouldn't alter things. J.D. Vance, of course, would be replaced by Governor DeWine if the Republicans win the Senate. Win the presidency, Vance would have to resign before January 20th of 2025. Mike DeWine would appoint him. That person would serve 2 years under Ohio in the Constitution, under Ohio rule in the Constitution, to hold on to J.D. Vance's seat. A lot of people say, oh, we should have Vivek Ramaswamy. No. Jim Jordan would be a great pick. Jim Jordan would be great. But we'll see who Mike DeWine picks. I don't know anybody about the Democrat, anything about who the Democrats will pick in New Jersey, but Menendez is not long for the Senate. Now, I got to tell you about Hillsdale College. Oh, can we just talk about supporting Hillsdale? You'll always want to know where to put your money to make a lasting difference. Hillsdale College is where you do it. Why? Because they're not just shaping the minds of college students today, but they're shaping the minds of elementary and secondary students around the country with real facts, real history, real truth, and real thoughtful classical education processes to teach kids not what to think, but how to think and to be smart. If you go to ericforhillsdale.com today, you can give a donation to Hillsdale College, and it's completely tax deductible. They're a 501c3. And you're investing in the future of the country. You're investing in the minds of kids. You're investing in a great education, not just at the collegiate level, but elementary and secondary education as well. You're helping them advance a mission to fight back against progressive colleges, and they've been doing quite successfully at it. Go to ericforhillsdale.com. You want a great nonprofit to support? Hillsdale College. Go to ericforhillsdale.com today.
Occasionally funny. You're listening to the Eric Erickson Show.
Hello, welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, if you're just tuning in, a Democratic strategist who you would all know does tell me in a text message that the Joe Biden has decided to step aside. The decision will come after this weekend in their mind, unless something changes, unless Jill Biden or Hunter Biden convince him otherwise, but that the Nancy Pelosi conversation on polling was deeply persuasive to President Biden, and that President Biden has asked Democrats to come up with a plan to minimize chaos for the transition to another candidate, that Kamala Harris is most likely to be that candidate, but that it's not guaranteed, as there are some Democrats led by James Carville and others who believe she'd be a terribly weak candidate. And polling that Democrats have conducted shows that pretty much everybody holds against Democrats that they lied about Joe Biden. Kamala Harris actually makes the most sense as well, because Joe Biden has a $212 million campaign war chest. The only person who can get that money is Kamala Harris, because she's currently on the ticket. She's part of it. If Joe Biden steps aside and the Democrats pick a new nominee, that nominee can't get Joe Biden's money legally. The only group that can is the Democratic National Committee, or an outside super PAC, and then they can't coordinate the spending of that money with the campaign. So it makes the most sense as well for Kamala Harris to take over, because financially she's the only one who can benefit from the campaign war chest. So again, this is I just laying it on the line for you. There are multiple reports out suggesting this as well. A Democratic strategist you would all know is telling me directly that Democrats believe Joe Biden will make the decision this weekend in Delaware to transition the campaign, most likely to Kamala Harris, and if not to her, to provide a smooth transition. The Congressional Black Caucus is already lobbying for Kamala Harris. They're trying to get unity among Democrats to avoid a chaotic convention in August at the Chicago Democratic Convention. They do not want an open convention in Chicago. Nobody does, including Joe Biden. If the Democrats cannot come up with a comfortable plan to smooth a transition, Joe Biden will probably stay in the race. It is still his race. He is legally entitled to the delegates. They cannot get him out of the race. And even the Democratic strategist who's relaying to me the internal gossip says everybody's praying that Jill and Hunter Biden fall in line and convince him to get out, because they're still very deeply persuasive to him. And look, I got to tell you, let me just give you, we're now well past the debate. We are well past the debate. And this is where the race stands. Emerson College has Trump up 4. Reuters has him up 2. Forbes has him up 2. Morning Consult has him up 2. NPR has Biden up 2. Fox has Trump up 1. NBC has Trump up 2. ABC has a tied race. The Wall Street Journal is further back. It's the end of June, had Trump up 6. The race has kind of returned to about a 2-point race for Donald Trump. That's still a winnable race by Joe Biden's campaign team. Still a winnable race. Now, let me just lay this out for you. If Joe Biden decides, there's a lot of misconceptions out there by people. If Joe Biden decides he's not going to run for president again, he does not give up the presidency. He doesn't leave the White House. He stays on as president. The only way he steps out is Joe Biden decides to resign the presidency. And I doubt he would do that, and all the Democrats doubt he would do that, and none of the Democrats are asking him to do that. Joe Biden does not have to give up the presidency, even if he decides not to run for a second term. Again, this is the most important point of why Kamala Harris would be most likely. Kamala Harris is the only one who can inherit the money. You got to know those facts. So let me just clarify this for everyone. One, assuming Joe Biden decides to step aside this weekend because the Democrats have come up with a plan to transition to another candidate, Joe Biden does not have to leave the presidency. He can remain president and just not seek re-election. The Congressional Black Caucus wants everyone to get behind Kamala Harris if Joe Biden does step aside. Legally, Kamala Harris is the only candidate who can inherit Joe Biden's campaign war chest of $212 million. If Kamala Harris is not the nominee, Joe Biden's campaign war chest cannot be given to any other candidate under federal law, but it can be given to a super PAC or the Democratic National Committee. If it is given to the Democratic National Committee, they can coordinate with Kamala Harris to a degree. If it is given to a super PAC, there can be no coordination between the super PAC and Kamala Harris under federal campaign finance law. If it's not given to the Democratic nominee, the Democratic nominee starts day one with no money for staff, polling, media messaging, nothing, and can do very little coordination with outside groups to make it happen. So financially, it makes the most sense to give it to Kamala Harris. The downside for Democrats is this. Kamala Harris doesn't poll well against Donald Trump either. Not only that, but Democrats' internal polling, the internal polling they have used to convince Joe Biden he should step aside, shows that any candidate who has defended Joe Biden's capacity and mental well-being is a candidate who is hindered and distrusted by the public, and that includes Kamala Harris. So you've got this big mess now. Democratic donors, by the way, are telling Joe Biden, if you don't get out of the race and you lose, we're not going to fund your presidential library. Another incentive to get him out of the race. He's got a lot of papers he wants on display at a presidential library. But only Kamala Harris can get the money. Democrats are not excited about Kamala Harris. James Carville is leading the charge for an open primary. They do not want to get out. Now, I got an email from listener Bill. Are you being a little naive? I don't trust for a nanosecond that the left would follow the rules about the war chest if both Biden and Harris are out. They cheat and lie on every level. How would they be stopped from using the money despite the law? Well, that's easy. You have a 6-3 split in the United States Supreme Court for the conservatives. The United States Supreme Court would enforce the law even if the Democrats chose not to enforce the law. The Republican appointees on the United States Supreme Court, including John Roberts, Amy Coney Barrett, and Brett Kavanaugh, are not going to ignore federal campaign finance law to help the Democrats. The people who gave Donald Trump immunity are not going to be the people to give the Democrats a workaround from federal campaign finance law. And yes, the Republicans could sue. And yes, the Supreme Court would enforce it. So no, I'm not being naive. I know how the system works. They can give the money to the Democratic National Committee if Kamala Harris is not the nominee. If they give the money to the Democratic National Committee, once that person becomes the official nominee of the Democratic Party, then the Democratic National Committee can coordinate with the candidate and spend money on behalf of the candidate and cover some of the travel costs and expenses, but can't cover the direct campaign finance and campaign expenses of employees of the campaign. That's why it's complicated. But the bottom line is this. It appears Democrats are now confident Joe Biden has made up his mind to step aside in the race. If the Democrats can, this is hinged on an if. He will step aside if. If this, then this. If the Democrats provide Joe Biden a plan to minimize chaos on a party nomination transition, then Joe Biden will step aside. Kamala Harris is favored, but she is not guaranteed. She is not guaranteed because the polling for Kamala Harris also shows she's very vulnerable to Donald Trump and not popular. But she's most likely because, one, she's the only candidate who can inherit the campaign war chest, and two, the Congressional Black Caucus, which would be highly influential in this decision, demands if it's not Biden, it must be her. You should also note the Congressional Black Caucus wants Joe Biden. It's very notable that there is a racial divide happening. The Congressional Black Caucus, the black pundits on television, from Jamie Harrison, the chairman of the DNC, to others, even on MSNBC, are all very insistent that Joe Biden is the nominee, and you cannot get rid of Joe Biden. If Joe Biden himself decides to step aside, they will absolutely want Kamala Harris. Absolutely going to want her. And she's deeply unpopular. You could have chaos in Chicago, but first Joe Biden has to step aside. You should also know this. There is a growing sense among Democrats that if Joe Biden does not step aside, if he changes his mind does seem to be leaning now towards getting out of the race. If he hardens his position over the weekend and does stay in, there's nothing Democrats can do to get him out of the race. A lot of Democrats about to find Jesus as they pray that Joe Biden gets out. Now, I want to go to Craig's phone call. Craig, welcome to the Eric Erickson Show. How are you?
Hey, Eric. How you doing? I had a comment and a question I'd like to hear your thoughts on.
Okay.
I missed the first half of the show.
How dare you?
and I'm really surprised that nobody said anything yet about the Democrat commercial that they aired just before the J.D. Vance speech about the 12-year-old that was raped by her stepfather and how Trump and Vance would take away the option she had to have an abortion. I missed that. Yeah, no, I believe Trump made it clear he's in favor of exceptions when it comes to rape, incest, and endangering the life of the mother. So why not take a page out of the Democrats' book? You know, they're famous at taking things like illegal immigrants and redefining them as undocumented workers. What if the Republicans redefine pro-life so that it doesn't just mean we're in favor of the life of the child, but we're also in favor of the life of the mother?
Not a bad idea. Although they got to tread real carefully, because I got to tell you that the pro-life activists are deeply bothered by both the eradication of the pro-life plank from the Republican platform and also J.D. Vance. The hardcore pro-lifers don't actually think Vance is with them. So they got to tread the line. But yeah, I mean, the Republicans do have great pushback on this. I'm actually, you know, so it used to be tradition that the parties would not run ads during the other party's convention. The Democrats this year, like, to heck with that. Remember, Joe Biden said they were going to stand down after the attempted assassination, and they haven't.
Yeah, go back and look at the commercial. And she's a 12-year-old who's now older, and she's looking back when she was 12 years old and basically said that she was raped by her stepfather, and if Trump and Vance are in the White House, that would have taken away her option to have an abortion.
Wow. Yeah, look, they'll do it. That's going to be their big issue. Craig, listen, I appreciate it. Yeah, once they can't do threat to democracy because they might get Trump killed, now they'll just go back full-time to abortion, which I don't think works much. Alicia, you're up next. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi. I was just wondering, who do you think that Kamala will choose as her running mate?
I think one of two options, and I'm willing to be wrong, but I think there are two logical picks for Kamala Harris if she runs. One is Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, who is generally liked even by a lot of Republicans. They like him, and that would make Pennsylvania a must-win for Donald Trump. That would be harder to win. The other is Roy Cooper, the governor of North Carolina. Democrats believe that Roy Cooper would provide a mature, steady hand for Kamala Harris because of his age and experience within the Democratic Party and his ability to win as a Democrat in a Republican state. Also, Kamala Harris and Roy Cooper have a great working relationship with each other and have known each other a very long time. They were both their states, California and North Carolina's attorneys general. So a lot of thinking that it would either be Roy Cooper or Josh Shapiro. I don't really know. Those are the names most talked about, and I think they actually do make the most sense. Now, while all this is happening on their side, on the Republican side, activists across the country are gearing up to try to make a difference in November. One of those groups is Americans for Prosperity. They're the largest grassroots organization on the right in this country. They have an army of activists, and they would love to have you a part of them. They will teach you how to be effective at knocking on doors, how to be effective at voter registration drives, how to be effective at advancing public policy, how to be effective at talking to your legislators about issues that you care about, to advance the conservative agenda, to support free markets and free people, to support families, to support school choice, to support closing the border. It's what Americans for Prosperity does across the nation. All you have to do is go to AmericansForProsperity.org. AmericansForProsperity.org. You go there. You can sign up, find a chapter in your state, AmericansForProsperity.org. You can become a volunteer. You can become an activist. You can become a more informed conservative about conservative issues. They educate conservatives on core conservative policy. They get you involved in the process. They fight for you in Washington. And at the state level, they've got chapters across the nation. AmericansForProsperity.org. Go check them out today.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Greetings. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson across the nation. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Let's go to Mary Lynn. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good, Eric. I just have a question, and I don't know, you may have already covered this, but I want to know if the protocol for COVID has changed.
Oh, not that I know of. If you get diagnosed with it, you got to isolate.
Right. Well, the one thing I noticed when our president was diagnosed with COVID and he was talking to his Secret Service detail right before he slowly walks up the stairs, nobody, including him, had a mask on.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. Yeah. I'm not surprised. As he goes off to Delaware, not wearing a mask. The man who wanted us all to wear masks, not doing it himself, doesn't want to be seen as weak, even though he's going up the short steps instead of the big steps to go home to Delaware. That's a great observation, Mary Lynn. I hadn't seen the video yesterday of him leaving, but I'm not surprised at all. And no one, of course, will hold him accountable. Of course not, because it's Joe Biden. We got a lot more we got to cover, including an incredible meltdown that happened on MSNBC yesterday. Yeah, I thought it was very notable as well that they decided on MSNBC, when it was clear it was Gold Star families who were taking the stage, that they would go to commercial break or first go to Rachel Maddow to talk to the DNC chair. They didn't want to cover that. They did not want to cover it. Meanwhile, you've got Mike Johnson out now formally calling for the president to fire the Secret Service director.
I'm prepared this morning to call on President Biden to fire to Director Cheadle. Yesterday I said that she should resign. It's clear that she has no intention to do so. But the oversight here, the mistakes, the ineptitude, whatever it is, was inexcusable. We almost lost the life of a former president, and I think there has to be accountability, and it begins at the top. This is ridiculous.
Amen. It does. But Joe Biden never fires anyone. The whole reason the Republicans were able to have such an impactful moment on Afghanistan with the Gold Star families was because Biden never fired anybody after Afghanistan. He never wanted to hold anyone accountable. He didn't want to acknowledge a fault. That's what's happening here. That's what's going on. It's coming back to haunt him. It's also breeding conspiracy theories with people who are convinced there must be some dark, sinister government plot, as opposed to this is rank incompetence without any sort of accountability. There's no incentive to get competent when there's never any accountability. Now, I got to tell you about Omaha Steaks, and I want to highlight something for you with Omaha Steaks. If you go to omahasteaks.com, you will see the hotter than fire sale. You got 50% off site-wide. You can do a subscription, by the way, and get regular deliveries, but if you click the hotter than fire sale, one of the most intriguing options is the custom assortment, $169.99. And if you go to Eric and if you use the promo code Eric at checkout, you're going to get $10 off. But here's what you get to do. You get to pick seven options. So you get to pick between butcher cut fillets, boneless New York strips, or butcher cut top sirloins. Then you get to choose between bacon-wrapped pork chops and chicken breast. Then you get to choose between Omaha Steak burgers or ultra-premium ground beef. Then you get to choose between gourmet jumbo franks or a variety of sausages that are handmade by Omaha Steaks. Then you get to choose between stuffed baked potatoes or individual scalloped potatoes. Then you get to choose dessert, and you get to choose seasoning. OmahaSteaks.com. Use Eric as your promo code at checkout. Get $10 off.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.